Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Larry Phillips, and we are going to be doing a Bible study this evening on the 28th chapter of Isaiah. And Chris is probably going to be joining me in about 15 minutes. But before that happens, I've asked Mark to read through the chapter. Mark, I'm going to alter the plan and have you read through the whole chapter. So I'm going to hand Mark the headset. He's agreed tonight to do the reading for us.
Hello, everybody. This is Mark. Woe to the crown of pride to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which is a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet, and the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips in another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause a weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, and they might go and fall backward, and there be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, and rule those people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. It shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation of stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a true foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line of righteousness, to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts to consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat and the pointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cart wheel turned about upon the cumin. But the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Red corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also coming forward from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Thank you.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Mark, for doing that for us. Appreciate that. And, well, this chapter really is interesting. It's the prophet is threatening Ephraim for their pride and drunkenness, and the residue shall be advanced in the kingdom of Christ. He's rebuking their errors. And he is, you know, rebuking them for their unwillingness to learn. Well, how many does that apply to with us, you know? Our unwillingness to learn, you know, gets in our way, doesn't it? We don't want to learn. We don't want to hear the truth oftentimes, and rebel our backs against the truth. God has a way of teaching us. He has a way of showing us the truth, whether we like it or not. May not be what we want to hear. God has a way of dealing with these rebels. And he has a way of showing us the reality of these things. The first verse we're going to start with, woe to the crown of pride to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Notice the focus here is on pride, you know? And people are addicted to pride. They're addicted, you know. Scripture says in the last days that they will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And here we see that if you want to look at some comparable passages of Scripture, you might look at Hosea 7:5 and Amos 6:6. But this pride, this is a sin, you know, that's especially prevalent in the professors of religion, okay? Professors of religion, doctors of divinity, masters of divinity. Persons with masters in counseling. You know, persons that are licensed by the state and ordained by some brick and mortar organization. And so this is really what it's addressing, those who are haughty and think they're superior. In this instance, to the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, but we could apply it to those who are just common, ordinary folks out here that are, professing that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior and not, don't have any credentials, you know. They're not ordained, they're not licensed, you know. And there's a lot of people that are lifted up with pride and they, you know, they have this sort of a self-righteous mentality. We all do, every one of us. It's in every one of us. And God hates pride. It's one of the things that he abhors. He hates pride. And he will not You know, it says he will not always strive with man. In other words, he's, and, you know, he can talk about these things and expose these things to his people, and they will eventually repent. Verse 2, behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which is a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with the hand. You know, sometimes we have to be reminded that God is the one that's in control. We don't have anything to boast of in and of ourselves, that's for sure. And, you know, one of these days we will all bow prostrate at his feet. He says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, you know, verse 3, the crown of pride, the drunkenness of Ephraim shall be trodden under feet. But notice the crown of pride, the crown of pride. And verse 4, the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower and as a hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. You know, when we look at the storms, there's a lot of people say God has no hand in the storms, you know, the tsunamis, the oceans, and all that. God is over the storms. And he's also over the storms that are in our lives, too. Never forget that. In fact, he sends the storms in our lives for various reasons. And, you know, God has predicted the utter destruction of Babylon. And here he's predicting the utter destruction of Ephraim. And in verse 5, it says, well, verse 4, I'll read that one again. Verse 4. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower and as a hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. You know, there's going to come the prophecy here has to do with the 10 tribes, with the head of Samaria being the head of them. That's going to be the fading flower. And, of course, we know that there is a correlation between the 10 tribes and the Assyrian monarchs and how that this swift, sudden, and destruction would be inevitable come upon them. And verse 5, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty under the residue of the people. Of course, this is, we can see the spiritual aspect of this pointing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's very evident of that, is it not? In that day, shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory. You know, we could say in that day, Messiah the Lord shall be the host. Will be for a crown of glory. Okay. And God's the one that gives his favors, both spiritual and temporal, to his people. you know. And verse 6, and the, for a spirit of judgment. For a spirit of judgment. And for the, to him that sitteth in judgment. And for a strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Well, Jesus Christ is the judge over all the earth. And, of course, a lot of people don't want to come under the judge's authority, do they? They want to make themselves the judge and the jury. They want to make themselves the prosecutor, the judge, and the jury. But Jesus Christ is the judge. And Jesus Christ is also the redeemer for his people. He's the one that shed his blood. And, you know, that's self-evident by reading Scripture. And then we go on down to the seventh verse. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way. Through strong drink they err in vision. They stumble in judgments. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so there's no place clean. You know, there's another scripture that says, all are as filthy rags in his sight. You know, they're drunk on all this false doctrine. They're drunk on the doctrines of free will. They're drunk on the doctrines of Arminianism. They're drunk on the doctrines of Catholicism and every other imaginable ism. And God's elect are in Christ, and they have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it says the priest and prophet have erred. We see today that the priest and the prophets of today have erred. They stagger as drunken men. And we see that, don't we? Their tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so there is no place clean. Now, I'm going to try to go and get Chris, our other person, see if we can add him to the call. I've got to make sure that he is unmuted. So I'll go in there to the room and unmute him. And he's not in there right now, so I'm going to go just try to pick him up on the call and see if he can join us. I hope that's the case. Anyway, let's see here. Let's see, Chris Durnham. See if I can add Chris. I don't know. I'm going to try it. It says that he's on the call, but I don't. I don't see that. I'm going to try to add him on here. Okay, let's see. Group call, let's see. Try to go get him again. See if we can get him back here with us. He is expecting my call. I don't know if he's on Skype or if he's on his other number. I'm going to go try to get him on the other number, I think.
Spirit with us a minute. And we'll see what we can do to get Chris to join us. He was hung up on a phone call there. And try this again, see if we can get him.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 6612451305 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Yeah, Chris, this is Larry. I'm just going to go ahead and forge ahead on the study. We're ready for verse number 10. In chapter 28, and if you want to call in, you're welcome to do so on the call, and we'll add you to it. We'll open it up for your participation. Have a great day. Bye for now. Well, anyway, we're going to continue on. I hope I didn't drop the call there, because when you're trying to do two or three things at once, it makes it really difficult, doesn't it? You think you're making progress, and you're really not. Call is being recorded still, so that's good. So we're going to move on in verse 10. We'll start with verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he be made to understand doctrine that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast? Well, we see that many people have not been taught the meat of the gospel. They've been given a lot of false teachings, and it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And there's a lot of people that out there that just, frankly, they don't believe that. The next verse says, verse 10, for precept must be upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Well,
you have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record. Press 3. Are you still there? You have.
Okay, so we're going to, for with stammering lips, with another tongue, will he speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. How many messages have you heard regarding this passage? Many people take this out of context. I said, well, you got to learn, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. But that's not what it is at all. The word of the Lord was given to them line upon line, precept upon precept. For what reason does it say that they were given this? People don't want to hear this. They may fall backward and be broken and snared and taken.
You don't hear that very often, do you? Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. And with hell, and we are in agreement when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and unto falsehoods have we hid ourselves. How many times have we been lied to about the Bible, about the Word of God? How many times have people taken refuge under the falsehoods of these doctrines we've talked about earlier? They've denied election. They've denied the eternal covenant. They've denied the total depravity of man. They've denied original sin. They've denied the eternal covenant between the Godhead. They've denied unconditional election, particular redemption. And they've denied the preservation of God's people for eternity. And they have created a man-centered doctrine, a doctrine of devils. That's what it is, doctrine of devils. And so then we wonder, you know, they wonder why they find themselves being under the judgment of God. The next verse says, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness will plummet, and the hail shall weep over the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And so, you know, this is what follows when people start teaching lies. God doesn't like these false teachers. You know, Jeremiah does a whole chapter on these people that scatter the flock. And we're not going to get into that tonight, but, I mean, there's a whole chapter on that in Isaiah. And Jeremiah also talks about it numerous places. In verse 18, he says, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Well, we know that, you know, this is referring to the land of Judea and the city of Jerusalem. And we know that in 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed. But in verse 19, he says, from the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you from morning by morning, shall it pass over by day, and by night it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. No. And, well, there's a sorrow and a sadness when we find out that we have been lied to about God's word. There is a sadness that comes over us when we realize that we have listened to false prophets. You know, the next verse says, the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and cover narrow than he can wrap himself in it. You know, we would much rather be wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, would we not? Man cannot cover himself. Okay. We can only take refuge and shelter in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people are really seem to be at ease on their bed of their own self-righteousness.
and they're not submitting to Christ and his righteousness. And they've covered themselves with the rags of their own doings, haven't they? Not with the garments of his salvation. You know, that's the only comfortable place to be, is the garments of his salvation, not the garments of our own righteousness. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Verse 21, for the Lord shall rise up as in the Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring his act, his strange act. Well, we see that many times God showed his great victories over his enemies. You know, I think this could be also referring to during the days of Uzziah. And it also can be referred to when God broke forth and delivered the Philistines over into his hands. But there are many other instances that we can see that God is always victorious when he decides to show his wrath to his enemies. They're doomed, aren't they? There's no further hope for them. There's no further hope for them at all. And verse 24. Oops. Now, therefore, be not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Let the plowman plow all day to sow. Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? We see this is he goes on and he says, when he, for his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. If we're not taught of God, we're not taught at all. Again, if we're not taught of God, we're not taught at all. That's all. And for the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon a cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with the staff and the cumin with the rod. Bread, corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in his counsel and excellent in his working. Everything that Christ does is excellent. There is no searching of his understanding. And he has done all things well. And he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Who can say unto him, what doeth thou? There's a lot of people that are coming against Jehovah God. And they're saying, we will not have him to rule over us. But yet, it doesn't matter whether they would have him do it or not. He is still the
King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is the ruler over all the earth. Who can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's the question. You know, there's many people out there that want to believe these things. They want to believe it. They want to lay hold on it. I'll try to see if Brother Chris is there again. See if he answers before we continue on. So we see this.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 6612451300.
Well, he's still not answering. So anyway, we're going to end this call now. This is a wonderful chapter that expresses the absolute sovereignty of God in all things and the protection over his people. Like the last time, he chastens his people, and he does do that, doesn't he? But yet he is always quick to show mercy to those whom he loves. So may the good Lord be with you tonight. And we will probably try to have another Bible study tomorrow at 3 o'clock Central Standard Time, which would be 1 o'clock Pacific Time.